to lose it before we end. But the one verse that the Lord keeps bringing to my memory is, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Yes.
Weariness, heavy laden, these are all, you know, forms of being stuck mm-hmm. and in grief. And the rest that he provides is a supernatural rest. Mm-hmm. It is a rest and a peace that you will not find in this world with any other means or matter. It is only through Jesus mm-hmm. Christ that you will find the rest that will refresh you and give you peace and bring you into a place of acceptance.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, I love that word supernatural, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to steal the breakdown from our guest next week, Carrie Reichards. We were having a prayer time, and what we're hoping for is for God to put his super into our natural.
Amen. Yes.
You know, and you're right, that supernatural peace that we don't understand, because it surpasses all of our understandings, because we're not him.
Amen. Yes.
Absolutely. I love that one. So we've touched on a lot of different types of grief and stages of grief. So it's clear to say, as we've talked about, and you can give me some more examples of this, grief is not just about someone passing, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all. Let me move on to the next slide. So the different facets of grief we can look at are, there's a loss of a dream for yourself. You know, you have lots mm-hmm. of people who said when they were in college or right out of high school, whether it be, I want to be an NFL player, or I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a marketing director, whatever it is their dream was, if that didn't come to pass and they find themselves, you know, a store manager at Home Depot or a mm-hmm. clerk at the Quick Trip or something, that is a form of grief. That not living out that dream for themselves, there's grief in that. And that's mm-hmm. something that they're going to have to walk through.
Yeah.
There's perceived dream. You know, a lot of us have kids. You're like, my kid is, you know, your kid's smart. They have a future that you can just see ahead of them. You're like, this kid's on. They're going to be an attorney. They're going to be this. They're going to be that. And then they, you know, have a few fumbles and they fall off the face of the earth for a while, and or they don't want to call, or they don't want you to talk to them anymore. There's always mm-hmm. something. It's that loss of the dream for your child that can be really difficult to deal with. And again, same thing mm-hmm. with marriages, friendships, relationships that end, and most of the time ending in probably what I would say tragic ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Financial losses, I'm sure we can all probably relate to that one on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's past sins. You know, there's some things that I know I have done through the decades that I am not proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And some of which I've only recently been able to get over. And, you know, these are all area facets of grief that we're going to have to deal with, death being the most common.
Okay. Now, looking at this information and what you just said, loss of dream for self,
mm-hmm.
What about that situation that someone is wanting to be a pro athlete and then they have that career ending, or injury,
mm-hmm.
or someone who maybe started college and the funds ran out and they couldn't continue. So like you said, you know, we love our Quick Trips here in the Midwest. So it's nothing against Quick Trip, but yeah, what if they're a clerk at Quick Trip, or what if they're, you know, on the fries at McDonald's, you know what I mean?
Right.
Do you think that those people that had higher aspirations and higher dreams have unrecognized grief?
I think that yes, there can be definite unrecognized grief, and it'll show in forms of, like before, there can be anger or there could be depression.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can develop a sense of self-esteem issues.
Mm-hmm.
Things will start to come to the surface mm-hmm. that will identify, maybe not to themselves initially, but they will be able to identify that they're in a form of grief. They may just not even know about it yet.
Right.
And so then the question becomes, you know, once it can be identified, first of all, it has to be identified.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get past it until you identify it. In fact, let me get to my next slide here, because I think this is where we're at now. So
yes, I was just going to ask you about that. Acknowledgement is the key on any situation.
Yes, absolutely. Anything. Acknowledgement is first and foremost. So for that person who's doing the fries at McDonald's or whatever, first of all, there is no shame in doing those jobs. We right. all go to those places. We all need those things. Mm-hmm. So, and here's the best, most fabulous part about that is when we acknowledge not only the grief, but when we acknowledge the fact that we are in the position we're in, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
that's where God has us at the moment. Mm-hmm. And there are things that he wants us to accomplish in those positions that are meaningful and important to him, that you are the only person in that mm-hmm. position for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't care if there's three people working the fries. If he has you on the midnight shift working, serving fries, there is a reason for that. There is somebody there that he wants you to share him with.
You are speaking my language.
So that's why we're all here. I'm not here just as an author, speaker, and fitness trainer, just, you know, for fun. I mean, yes, it is fun, but the purpose is to share Jesus Christ with people and to share who he is and his love and to do it in such a way that it just magnifies and multiplies.
Mm-hmm.
That is it.
I totally agree.
So, and I think I got a little off track, but getting back to the slide. Yeah, acknowledgement is first. And I say, connect the dots. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So I think what I have experienced, and I think several of my friends, we've talked about it, is we don't like to connect the dots because we don't want to see the picture it makes, right? So when you're a kid, mm-hmm. you used to connect the dot pictures to see the little picture, and then you could color it in. And it was all great.
Yep.
Well, as adults, we have some pictures that we'd rather not connect the dots to because it can be rather ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to acknowledge it. We don't want to admit it. There's things that we don't want to see, because it might reveal something about ourselves or about somebody else that we don't want to come to terms with. So we have to give ourselves permission to connect the dots and be okay with it. Mm-hmm. Making peace with your situation just means there are times when you are going to have to know that there is nothing you can do. There is mm-hmm. nothing you can change. There is nothing you can say differently, do differently, mm-hmm. Pay somebody off, whatever the case may be. To make peace with the situation as it is. And that just means basically going, okay, God, I release this situation to you. Whatever comes, comes. And I'm going to be at peace with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible tells us and for us to be at peace and as much as possible, be at peace upon the situations we're in and with the people we're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't feel like you have peace, and if you don't feel like you can get peace, then you need to pray to the Lord, who is willing to give you whatever you ask for when it comes to things like peace and wisdom and knowledge.
Correct.
So that would be that portion. Getting wise counsel. Again, there is no shame in going to counseling, mm-hmm. getting pastoral care. A lot of churches have Stephen ministers set up. I am a Stephen minister, so mm-hmm. I do have sessions with people who are going through some really hard times. And these people are here for your benefit. They're here to yeah. help you through it. And you can find faith-based counseling, pastoral care, support groups. Celebrate Recovery is a huge mm-hmm. Group that I know our church has too. And mm-hmm. and it's not just for people who are addicts. It's for people who are family members of addicts, or
right.
even people who have suffered some form of molestation or incest. It's not about the thing that happened to them. It is about
mm-hmm.
getting through the event that happened to you or someone you love, so that you don't become codependent, so that you don't have boundary issues. Those are what those are there for, and they're great tools.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so the getting unstuck is it sounds simple, but it is a process.
Right.
And so the other thing I wanted to make sure everybody understood is, you know, the devotional I co-authored, it has 12 stages of grief, okay? Because as they wrote it, they realized there were a lot more than five.
Right.
And myself, I wrote on a denial, guilt, anger, bargaining, looking back was one, you know, looking back into your past, transitions, rebuilding, and acceptance. All these, all, or I didn't write on all of them, but most, there was a good majority I did, eight of them. These all happen, and they don't all happen in any order because there's no order in life when it comes to things that happen to us in grief. You might find somebody who goes right from denial to anger and then right to acceptance. That's okay because that's how you process, and that's great. You may go back and forth between rebuilding and guilt before you finally get to acceptance. There's no one way for this to happen, and there's no specific amount of time for it to happen in. Everybody is experiences grief individually and in their own, individually in their own way and in their own shape and their own form. So
And just like life's journey, there is no roadmap to grief recovery.
no, there's not.
It's really interesting that you say the book you co-authored ended up with 12 steps, because that was something I was thinking in the last slide. Like it's almost like a 12-step program. And
Yeah.
here you say there's 12 steps to grief reconciliation. And as you were talking about a person being the best fry maker on that third shift, or whatever it is, it just, again, praising God in the storm. If that's not where you want to be, that's okay. But He does have you there for a reason. You don't know what that reason is. Only He does. You don't know who you're there to see or who's there to see you. And
Right.
the more you do your job joyfully and with a song in your heart, and you do, like you said, the scripture says, do all these things as if unto the Lord.
Yes.
You do your job as if you are doing your job for the Lord, because you are, because He gracefully gave you that position, right?
Amen. Yes.
And therefore, the better you do that job, the more you're going to be recognized for it, and that door may open to something more. And that's just powerful.
Right. Well, and there is the scripture, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to misquote it, but it says, those who are faithful will with little will be given much more.
Correct. Yep.
So, you know, it is it each event, each opportunity, each breakthrough event is an opportunity to be entrusted with bigger responsibilities. Same thing with our kids. You know, we give them responsibilities to do the dishes, and then we give them more responsibilities to, you know, manage the kitchen. They may not like it, but it's part of life.
It is. It is. And that's really, really interesting, because it's almost that parable of the three men that were given the shekels, and one hid his one, and the other one, went out and increased it, but the one who increased the most was given more because he was a good steward over it.
Yes. Yes,
So.
God has given, and that is such a key story. I love that story because it speaks to each and every single one of us.
Yep.
There is a mind shift that happens when you know what you've been given, the talents you have, the skills you have to cope with everything that you've got going on in life, even when grief comes. There's has to be a mind shift, and the mind shift says, yes, but I'm going to take the narrow road, and I'm going to get through this. You can take the narrow road and you can get through it. It's also your choice to take the wide road and complain and gripe and do whatever else you want to do. That's absolutely fine, but you don't get the same reward.
And that's what we're here to talk about, is mind shift,
Yes.
mind control. You control your mind. You don't let your mind control you. If you shift your thoughts, you change your life.
The
That's what
Bible
this
says,
series
take your
is
thoughts
all about.
captive, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's how you create mind shifts, is you have to take your thoughts captive. You have to be the one controlling the thought process. Don't let your thoughts run away with you. Don't let your thoughts escape. Don't let your thoughts be overcome by the tragedies of the world. Jesus overcame the world for us, We just need to keep our thoughts in check with what his word says. And that's that's another point with this whole mind shift and mindfulness is stop listening to what the world says. Stop listening to what the news says. Stop listening to what all these other faculties are saying. Listen to what God says. And what God says is in his word. His word is true. It's true to 1,000 generations, and it never lies. He is not man that he can lie. So if we follow that, we are ahead of the game.
Absolutely. What are some other ways that being stuck looks like and grief looks like? You mentioned addiction when you were talking about Celebrate Recovery. What about other types what types of addiction? Most people think drugs and alcohol, but what about gambling and shopping?
Absolutely.
Eating.
Exactly. With addictions, there's addiction to, like you said, gambling. There's addictions to eating. There's addictions to plastic surgery. People constantly feel they need to change something about themselves. There's all kinds of addictions, and these all stem from some form, and I'll say grief. Maybe some people may not agree with me, but it is all some form of grief of not being satisfied with who you are.
Yep.
Not accepting who God made you to be. I will share this story and be perfectly honest, because I know you and I have discussed it, and maybe this will help somebody out there who's considering. And I say plastic surgery first, or the last thing I said, because back in my 20s, probably early 30s, I should say, I had plastic surgery done. I had implants put in, thinking that I would feel better about myself, thinking that it was going to make a difference, thinking that, this is probably before I was born again. So that was the other element of this. But the vanity took over in such a way that I spent a hefty amount of money. The consequences of that are very real today, when I now am struggling with breast implant illness, autoimmune disorders, hormone disorders, that all are due to this foreign object in my body. So now I am scheduled to have surgery to have it removed. And thank God that I came across another health coach whose wife had been dealing with the same issue, who was able to educate me a little bit and show me. And again, sometimes things don't happen on accident.
Right.
The fact that they knew exactly what I was saying, they could identify. I felt like the Lord was saying, yes, this has to be removed. It was causing inflammation levels in my body to be super high because it is a foreign object.
Yep.
So all that to say that we can pursue the things that we think we want, but they may not be the things we need. And when you pursue the things you want without really consulting God, there are going to be consequences to those actions. Good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. There's consequences. My consequence is having to deal with this. That's why I can talk about the grief of vanity and having to deal with the consequences of those actions and accepting the fact that what I did has caused some issues in my health. So now I have to go about the process of repairing it. And it's very real. So, again, all that to say, I don't want to tell people there's nothing wrong with plastic surgery. If you feel that's what you want to do and that's where you feel the Lord is leading you to, by all means, go do it, whatever. But for me, I came to realize that that was a wrong choice. So, the getting unstuck part for me on that is accepting the choice I made and moving forward with the surgery to have it removed. And then loving myself the way God loves me and seeing myself the way God sees me rather than how I want man to see me.
Right. Because man looks at the outside, God looks at the inside, and your heart, and you have a beautiful heart. And, you know, having those in implants, or even the opposite direction when someone has breast reduction or they have other cosmetic surgeries, you know, those are indications that people don't think that they are good enough in whatever respect. And one of the biggest things we talk about here at Infinitely More Life is that you are enough in Christ.
Amen.
That's one of our ministries. I am enough in Christ. So you realize now that you are enough.
Absolutely.
Just the way you are. And and God sees you as perfect, whole, because you're in his image.
Amen.
He made all of us in his image. And he made us the way he wanted us.
Absolutely. Yes.
So I completely agree with you. So I think we've covered pretty much everything. We talked about the different facets of loss.
Yes.
We talked about the ways that people remain stuck in their grief. That can be a perpetual cycle. When people don't accept what's going on, they stay in it.
Yes.
And they're still stuck. And they're going around in that wilderness because they won't break through.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where I think, like we said, it's the acknowledgement. You have to start with the acknowledgement first.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a constant prayer engaging activity.
Yes.
It's God, help me to acknowledge the grief in the situation I'm in. God, help me to not deny the situation I'm in. God, help me not to be angry about the situation I'm in. God, help me to get away from bargaining with you for the situation I'm in. God, help me not to look back at the situation. Like the Bible says, you know, if your hand's on the plow, you don't look back to see where you've been. You just keep looking forward to the future that God has. And like I said, there's all of these things. It's a constant prayer activity for each and every stage and phase so that you can get to that breakthrough that you've been looking for.
You know, it's really interesting when you said look back. The first thing that came to my mind, and obviously you said look back earlier, but this time when you said it, I thought about, was that Lot's wife that looked back?
Yes.
And what happened to her? She got stuck.
Yes.
She's frozen.
Yes.
That's it.
Yep.
You cannot look back.
Right.
You
right.
can't, because you'll be stuck there.
Right. There is nothing good that can happen from constantly looking back. I mean, there's no purpose. I mean, we don't drive our cars looking in the rearview mirror. We don't push
that's
our
exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, it's just common sense, right? You know, you have to keep looking forward to what's coming. You know, live in the present, look forward.
Well, and they even tell you in driver's education and motorcycle education for learning to ride a motorcycle, the way that you look is the way you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
The way that you look is the way you go. If you look to your left, you're going to go left unconsciously. It's just the natural reaction.
Yes.
So if you look back, you're going to consistently be going backward or stay there.
You're right. Absolutely.
Wow. Such amazing conversation with you as always, Victoria. Do you have any last words that you want to add on grief, becoming unstuck, or anything about the facets of grief or stages of grief or recovery? Anything you want to add?
I think what I really just want to get across to people is that if you're dealing with someone who is in grief or in any of those stages of grief, be patient with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at some notes here real quick. I apologize. One of the things that I do want to add is everybody responds differently.
Right.
And if we look back to the story of King David, you know, when he knew that his baby with Bathsheba was going to die, he was mourning, sackcloth, ashes the whole time, right? And he wouldn't eat.
Right.
When that baby did pass, what does it say he did? He showered, he bathed, whatever. He got himself cleaned up.
Yep.
And then he comforted his wife by making love to her. Then that alone is a beautiful scene to know that there is a period and a time for mourning, and there it is a period and time to rejoice.
Yes.
And I think that is key as we look at each and every one of our circumstances for grief and the different phases that everybody else is in. The other aspect of it I want to share is when Jesus was on the cross
mm-hmm.
with his disciples and his mom, and they stood before him, and he told her, "Behold your mother, mother, behold your son."
Mm-hmm.
He knew that they were going to experience a grief that was unlike anything they had experienced before.
Right.
These disciples were his brothers, and this was his mom. And so he was placing them together mm-hmm. to be able to be there for each other, be accountable to each other, but also to comfort each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the other point I wanted to make is not everybody's grief looks the same, but everyone going through grief, no matter what kind, small or big, needs to be comforted. And yeah. so we need to comfort them with the same love and compassion that Jesus had for us and for his disciples and for everyone.
You know, that's so amazing. As you're telling that, it just brings to my mind that in comforting someone with grief issues or in positive, happy communion, we are to be in community. We're not to do things alone. We were designed to be in community.
Yes.
You know, and to be with someone, as you say, be patient. Everyone's grief looks differently and is experienced differently. I can't help but think that in those times, we need to exercise all nine of the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
All nine of them. And we have our conference coming up in February. It will be virtual this year, and it will be called Freedom Harvest, and we will explore the fruits of the Spirit. So you'll want to come on for that and listen for upcoming announcements regarding that. So amazing information, Victoria, as always. I thank you so much for your time. I am telling you right now, you have opened our eyes and shed so much needed light on what grief truly is, how we recognize it and put it in this proper place and perspective. Grief is normal, and it's not to be shied away from or shunned, or like you say, oh, just get over it, just put it behind you. That isn't what it's about. It has its proper place and perspective, but it's when you let it consume you and overtake you that it becomes too much.
Yeah, right. Correct. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Ara, for having me and letting me share my heart and what the Lord has put on my heart these days. This has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. I appreciate you. And so thank you for your information here. Are you open to people reaching out to you for fitness coaching as well as for your Stephen ministry coaching?
Well, the Stephen ministers, that is done through our church, and I can definitely hook them up with that as well.
Okay.
Because I don't get to pick who I get. They kind of go by the Lord's leading. So as it should be. Mm-hmm. But yes, for fitness coaching, in December, I will be starting up a new class, which is a combination of Pilates and cardio kickboxing. So that'll be actually on Zoom. So people can do a punch card type, a virtual punch card, and it's $36 for 6 classes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real easy to do. They can participate anytime they want. That punch card does not expire. So if it's once a month, that's great. If it's 4 times a month, that's great.
Okay.
I do have on the slide my contact information.
Yes.
And my website and the 2 books that I have, which are also available on my website.
Perfect.
So you're welcome to check all those things out. I would welcome any questions anyone has or any kind of resources that I have, I'd be willing to extend to anybody. So,
okay, awesome. Now, your December fitness classes, are those live or on demand or both?
So those will be live.
Okay.
I am working on doing some that are on demand. So
okay.
I don't know if they'll be available at that time. It'll just depend on how things pan out over the next 2 months here.
Okay. And then the two books that you have listed here, those are the two that are readily available now. And then you have another one coming up. Is that October, or I mean, November or December?
So these are the two available now in print. And the one that I have, I believe it is or has been the giveaway. It's called Letting Go, and it is a 30-day devotional, excuse me, on breaking the chains that bind us. And I had co-authored that one with my good friend Kristen Kontronowski, who is a nutritional coach and fantastic woman of God, great resources. And I think between the two of us, we covered so much on different kinds of letting go. So, it takes 30 days to build a habit, 30 days to break a habit. That's what this is for.
Fantastic.
It's an electric, it's an ebook right now. I am looking at publishers to get it put in print. So.
Okay. Well, we will definitely keep an eye out for that at Victoria's Living, livevictoria.com, the way it is spelled here on the screen. You know what? I appreciate you so much and your transparency, your openness, your honesty. Just wonderful. Thank you so
Thank you
much.
so much.
Well, everyone, this concludes this week's conversation of Mind Control. Shift your thoughts, change your life. Join me again next week as I have an in-depth conversation with our guest, Carrie Reichartz, as she discusses finding freedom and how the journey to her freedom impacted her life and the work that she is doing with us today in the US as well as in Mombasa, Kenya. Until next time, have a great rest of your week.